Emma, take us back then 10 years if you can. You were there. Tell us the first that you'd known that this had happened.
I can remember it quite clearly, actually. I'm fairly astounded that it's actually 10 years ago that it happened. I remember that I'd been really tired. I'd had a really long day in work and I was on my way home and I got a call from my news desk. And at that stage, I think that the details were quite sketchy. And all they knew was that there had been a train crash somewhere in Cumbria and basically told me to start get on the motorway and start heading north, which I did. And on the while I was on the motorway, I spotted a convoy and they took me to the crash site, which was in a pretty remote area where it happened. And by this point, by the time that I got there, it was pretty late and it was pitch black. I just remember driving down a lot of country roads and it being very, very dark. And then all of a sudden in the distance, I could see some hazy kind of light. It's quite difficult to explain what it looked like. But it was just an unreal sight in that situation because it was so dark and such a remote area. And you could see that there were all of these lights, which was obviously all of the emergency service workers. I dumped my car on one of the remote country roads and ended up scrambling through a muddy field, sort of heading towards these lights that I could see, and actually bumped into a photographer in the middle of the field as well, and we headed over to the crash site, and it was a really shocking sight. We kind of came over a brow of a hill, and I can remember looking down, and there were just what seemed like hundreds of emergency service workers. There were emergency vehicles everywhere, huge lighting rigs like lighting up the site. You couldn't actually see that much of the train at that stage because there was just so many people surrounding it. But you know, in this job, you do see a lot of unusual things and a lot of shocking things. But that memory still stays with me to this day because it was just so incongruous in that area to see that in such a remote countryside location. And I remember the first thing I thought straight away was that there must have been so many people killed and injured because it looked so horrific. And actually, it was obviously a tragic, horrendous event, but how more people were killed, I don't know. And I think it's probably testament to how well those trains were built, I think, ultimately. So that was kind of the first sight that I saw. And although it was quite a remote area, there was kind of one or two houses dotted about. So I remember I went and knocked on the door of one of the houses and interviewed someone who'd heard the accident and had a cup of tea with him. And then kind of watched what was happening for a few hours and then ended up sleeping in my car, as you often do on these jobs. Slept in the car until kind of dawn and then woke up in the morning, and that's when you could see the true kind of devastation really of what had actually happened. And it sounds cliche to say, but it really did look like a disaster movie. I think because of the setting in particular, it was surrounded by mountains in these kind of fields, and then there was just this train that had just sort of fallen down an embankment, and that's exactly what it looked like, a disaster movie.
Yeah, I can't imagine what it would have looked like. And you also were the journalist who took Richard Branson, you know, the owner of Virgin Trains, to the site. Tell us a little bit about how that came about.
Yeah, so the meeting Richard Branson and taking him down to the site was kind of an accident. I'd left my car down one of the country roads and I'd had a phone call from the police asking me if I could move it. And by this point, there were lots of police roadblocks in place and the site was pretty much cut off to the public. So I'd managed to get to one of the roadblocks and explain to the policeman what I was doing. And at this point, I kind of noticed there was a big blacked out people carrier by my side, and a guy came and asked me if I would be able to show him down to the site and said that he was from Virgin. And I was like, of course. So we ended up walking down this country road, and it wasn't actually, we'd been walking for about 5 minutes before I actually looked up and realized that there was someone else with us, and it was actually Richard Branson. And I just remember my memories of him were that he looked genuinely absolutely devastated. And at this point, you couldn't see the crash site. And we walked up the brow of a hill. And as we came to the top, that's when you could see the actual site. And I just remember that he stopped dead in his tracks and just stared at the site and was just deathly silent, just didn't say anything for what seemed like a good few minutes. And in general, I just remember I was very impressed with him because he to get there at that time, he must have got on a plane immediately and headed straight to the site. And all of his reactions seemed to be someone who was genuinely devastated to see what had happened. So then I ended up just taking him down and across and showing him the way to get to the scene and then left him to go and have a look at what had happened. By this point, my memory does start to get a bit of a hazy because at this point, I think I'd been awake for about 48 hours. So at that point, someone came to replace me. And I remember I drove to the nearest hotel and just slept for, I think, about 12 hours straight after that. And I did actually leave journalism shortly after Grey Rig, completely unconnected. But it's definitely something that's always stayed with me since. And although I was quite surprised when I got the phone call to tell me it'd been 10 years, because it really doesn't seem that long, it is something that I definitely will always remember.